Brilliance Audio.
Schooled by Ted Fox. Performed by Scott Merriman. Chapter 1. Nothing good ever comes from going into work on Saturday. We'd even made a rule against it. It was a couple of weeks after a giant gadget site named us Best Electric Toothbrush. The exact phrasing was, "the toothbrush that will make you see the face of God." And our sales had taken off. Finally confident Scrub wouldn't go out of business anytime soon, we'd sent a company-wide email announcing the office was, from that point forward, closed on weekends so that no one would feel pressure to come in. Everybody had worked hard to get us there, and we could at last afford to hire more people so that we could all go back to having lives. But that was before we got bought. Now we were being told to streamline, to get more efficient, firing instead of hiring. Nothing could be more un-Saturday. I walked through the silent floor full of cubicles into my office. The blinds on the window were closed, and I didn't bother turning the lights on. Artificial twilight seemed appropriate. I was supposed to have done this 2 weeks ago, which itself was an extension of the original deadline, but I kept putting it off, hoping that it would magically get easier. Magic having failed, I was now on to Plan B, sifting through past performance reviews in a vain attempt to make the patently unfair as fair as possible. My computer didn't seem any more eager than I was, informing me as soon as it powered up that it needed to run a variety of system updates. It was just as well. Kayla, my wife, had let me take the last of the lasagna leftovers for lunch, so at least one part of this especially terrible day wouldn't be quite so terrible. And now I had good reason to eat them while I still had an appetite. I opened the third drawer of my desk with my free hand to retrieve my emergency pack of cigarettes, an ironic vice for someone at a toothbrush company, I know, and then headed for the kitchen. It was narrow, galley style, and even darker than my office. But I didn't need the lights there either. That microwave had furnished me with too many perplexingly reheated lunches to count. How does the top stay cold when the bottom is hot? And I could find my way to it in my sleep. I popped open the door and immediately caught a whiff of the ghost of seafood past. Philip. He was always reheating fish in there, despite repeated interventions by at least a dozen of us. Is that layoffable? I wondered out loud as I reached into the shopping bag and grabbed the container, dropping my cigarettes onto the dark floor in the process. I shoved the lasagna unceremoniously into the microwave and closed the door before going into a squat to feel around for that familiar rectangle. I hadn't smoked regularly since college, but occasionally, when work got crazy, it was one of the only things that could help me slow down and breathe. Again, ironic. And now that the image of Philip packing up his desk was stuck on a loop in my head, it would have been fair to say I wanted all the cigarettes. All of them. But especially the 7 left in that pack on the kitchen floor. So my search felt a little more frantic than it otherwise would have been, and just as I was about to concede to the gross inconvenience of walking the 15 feet back to the door and turning the light on, I found them. I stood up and briefly wondered where I had set the lasagna. Right, already in the microwave. The slice was especially thick, and I was determined to heat it all the way through, even if that meant turning some of the layers molten. I set the timer for 8 minutes and walked out, intent on enjoying a moment of carcinogenic calm before the storm. As the first drag penetrated my insides, God, that sounded sexual, and God, it almost was. I stared out at our parking lot.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?